Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Put on your holiday sweaters, tell us your favorite podcast song, and grab yourself a fake wig. You're not going to want to miss this. Places, everyone. It's time for Last Looks. Hello, all you roller skating ninjas and rat tail eaters. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? : Last Looks, where you, the listener, get to voice your issues on New York Ninja, one of the best movies ever made. Plus, Jason Mantzoukas joins me in just a little bit as we judge more of your new How Did This Get Made theme song submissions. Plus, we will share an exclusive deleted scene from our New York Ninja show. Thank you, Red Bank, New Jersey. That was such a fun room. I love Red Bank. And as always, we are going to reveal next week's movie. But first things first, a giant shout out, a big shout out to Chris Cheney for that amazing opening theme song. Chris, I love it. If you want to send in a theme song, not a How Did This Get Made theme, but just a Last Looks theme, send them to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. Keep them short. 15 to 20 seconds is best. Now, if you are listening to this on release day and you live in Minneapolis, we are in your city tonight and tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday at the Pantages Theater, and there might be some tickets left. We are very close to being sold out. So check hdtgm.com, and you can always grab tickets at the last second at the box office. That's a little trick I learned. If you need a gift for a How Did This Get Made fan in your life, let me tell you, we are doing it up great. How Did This Get Made? Ugly holiday sweaters are on sale now. We have 4 different designs: Geostorm, Team Sanity, Team Fred, and Jack Frost, a Snow Dad's Better Than No Dad design. I love these. They're all available at podswag.com/bonkers. Also, if you're an Unspooled listener, we have a brand new popcorn tin. You can get them both. Have fun, and make sure you check out the exclusive How Did This Get Made wrapping paper for the How Did This Get Made fan in your life. All right, let's get into it. Last week, we talked at length about New York Ninja, a movie that Discord user Farm Boy, I love Farm Boy, he's been helping me out on tech back in the day, Farm Boy says the tagline for New York Ninja should have been, better late than never. Okay, I like it. I mean, I put some spin on it, but it's simple. And you know what? Sometimes simplicity is the key. You all know that when you hear a good second opinion song. Anyway, we had questions about New York Ninja. We might have even missed a few things. Here's your chance to fill us in, set us straight, fact check us, whatever you want to do. It is time for you to shine on something I like to call corrections and omissions. Hit the theme!
Corrections and omissions. Yeah.
Thank you, Alan Osborne, for that great theme song. Let's go to the Discord. The Discord is, as always, discord.gg/HDTGM. All right, Baba says, my theory with the birthday thing was that both he and his wife had the same birthday. Simple, sturdy. All right, I like that. Dr. Guts also weighs in on the birthday party debate, saying, I did want to correct Paul on one thing. All right, Dr. Guts, what do you got? When John is on the roof with the birthday decorations, he reads a postcard, not a birthday card. My guess is whatever was written on the postcard was something different than what he says in the movie. Oh, all right, I like that. Again, doesn't make full sense, but I like that we are getting to the bottom of this. Anybody else want to talk about the birthday party? Oh, well, here's somebody right here. Rocket Wesker writes, my interpretation of the ninja swords at the birthday party is this. John Liu used to be a ninja, but he turned his back on that life after he met his wife and just worked as an ordinary sound technician. Probably promised his wife he would never go back to being an assassin again or something along that line. Then his wife got killed, so he took his old weapons to the rooftop and started crying and saying sorry because he was returning to the life of blood and shadow, the one he promised her that he would never go back to. Now that's drama. That works. I like that. Jem Jam writes, did anyone else notice that the ninja seems to lure Randy into the park to be kidnapped for no reason? He calls her and tells her to meet him. Then he hides in a tree while she is taken, but then he doesn't follow her or use her as bait to learn where they took her. She's just gone and he leaves and does something else entirely. Jem Jam. Yes. Makes no sense. Now, I'd imagine that's due to the fact that the movie is re-edited and redubbed. Sean McBee writes, I watched Re-Enter the New York Ninja, the YouTube documentary about the making of this film. By the way, I also did it after the show. But Sean, tell us what you got. Sean says, the only original cast member in the documentary is Adrian Meltzer, the actress who played Randy, and she puts an end to the wig debate once and for all. Here you go.
The biggest issue for me was the platinum blonde wig. So, of course, I auditioned without a wig. My agent didn't say anything about the wig. And all of a sudden, the first day on the shoot, John presents the wig. And I'm like, what? And he said, no, for the European market, you've got light eyes. They're very big on platinum blondes. And so you're going to wear the wig. I thought, oh, okay. And then the wig became my life.
Isn't that great? And June is wrong. Any chance I get a chance to tell June she's wrong when she's not here, I'll do it. No, I sent that clip around to everybody after the show. Sean McBee continues with some other great nuggets. The Balcony Monster was correct about John Liu's whereabouts. In making this film, Vinegar Syndrome was able to track him down through another cast member. He lives in Vietnam in a shack on the water with no electricity and has a friend who goes and visits him about once every 3 months. That friend has brought tidings from the company about the effort to complete the film. Liu has responded that he did not wish to be involved, but sent along a good luck blessing. Okay, nice. Simple. I mean, John Liu is a controversial person. I don't want to get into it too much. The initial rough cut was made determining the order from the scene numbers on the slates. That order was apparently incomprehensible, which is why they decided to re-edit and make the most sensible story they could in their own way. Okay, so they didn't just completely go rogue. And then finally, he adds two more thoughts. I can confirm what anyone watching this movie suspected from the start. No permits were acquired in the filming of this movie. Yes. And then my own observation, not gleaned from the documentary, John recognizing the killer of his wife by spotting his cufflink would indicate that despite having lost one cufflink, he continued to wear the other all on its own with a mismatched mate. Bam! Wow. That is honestly I'm there for that. Johnny Unusual writes, despite that one audience member's insistence that Vinegar Syndrome remakes old pornos, they really are distributors who clean up and redistribute cult movies. Initially, they were focused primarily on X-rated movies, and yes, their catalog does include a lot of film from the golden age of porn. However, there are a lot of X-rated movies that aren't pornographic, like Midnight Cowboy. Scoop then chimes in, as a boutique Blu-ray physical media person, I just wanted to say that Vinegar Syndrome is the Criterion Collection for exploitation and genre pictures. They restored and re-released the unrated cut of Tammy and the T-Rex and do incredible work giving a second life to pictures that would ultimately turn to dust otherwise. I am a huge fan of Vinegar Syndrome. This is Paul talking. I met them when I was doing an Unspooled show in New Orleans. And I will say this. They are putting out great stuff. I would like, and maybe I'll put the offer out to them right now. Would you like to release Human Giant season 1 and season 2 on DVD? Because no one else is doing it. Vinegar Syndrome? Let's go. Let's do it. I did release Human Giant season 2, which has never been available anywhere at Vidiot's. So if you're in LA, you want to go to Vidiot's. I have a brand new section there called Pulled from Streaming, a bunch of stuff that you can't get anywhere else. Tim C. writes, not a correction or omission, but I just wanted to share that my 12-year-old saw his first movie boobs in New York Ninja, sad-faced emoji. The wife and I were watching in prep for the live show, and he walked right in as they unfolded on screen. He did a Grandpa Simpson loop right back out of the room. He refused to believe me when I told him that they were her knees. Oh, man, Tim, her knees? What a memory from our first How Did This Get Made live show. You know, I seeing nudity in a movie for the first time is kind of why I remember it burnt into my mind. And for me, it was being at my grandparents' house. They had HBO and Risky Business was on. And I thought, oh, Risky Business, this is a kid. He's cool. He's like me. You know, I mean, I was very young, but I saw myself in Tom Cruise. He wore sunglasses and danced in his underwear. And I remember going like, what? Like, that movie is way adult. I think a lot of people also, Scott included, said that their first like nudity scene was Starship Troopers. It's weird because these are movies that you don't always expect. Risky Business, I probably should have, I mean, from the plot, but I just turned it on and I was shocked. I remember people putting their hands over my eyes. Anyway, Cherry Cola writes, my question is, how often do people think gang members actually high-five when they're doing gang member stuff? I feel like there's a lot of bad dudes high-fiving in these movies, and it seems so weird to me. Also, a lot of cackling, just cackling and high-fives while doing bad guy stuff. Well, Cherry Cola, maybe the Warriors set a bad precedent. Yeah, gang members in the 80s seem to be a little bit more upbeat. They're kind of like, it's kind of like a fun gang. It's like kind of like our gang, but they murder. Sean McBee writes one more time. He goes, I got one more thing. I love the New York Ninja button that John has at the end of the movie. It's fully branded with the name of the company that made the film. You can read it, the 21st Century Distribution Corporation. Wow. I wish we would have made those. Maybe we should have made those. Maybe we can make those. Should we make an I Love New York Ninja pin? I hope Vinegar Strokes hasn't made it. I'll check it in. All right. So many great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one winner. And honestly, you know, I always look to people to do some extra work. And Sean McBee, this week, not only did you do extra work, you came in multiple times. Sean McBee, there is only one winner, and it is you. Honest Jams, give him what he deserves, his own theme. Thank you, Honest Jams. Thank you, Sean McBee. Remember, if you want to submit a movie tagline or just chime in with your own thoughts, hit us up on the Discord, discord.gg/hdtgm, or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. And before we go to break right now, I want to just talk about something because this is brought up in the live show. We cut it out of the live show because we didn't want to be defaming anyone. So I thought we should just read the statement that Vinegar Syndrome put out, because you heard me reference it a little bit earlier when I said John Liu is a problematic guy. And a few Discord users also pointed this out. So Vinegar Syndrome has said this. It has come to our attention that the allegations of inappropriate conduct with actors were made against John Liu concerning the events that might have occurred in the 90s. While we cannot confirm the legitimacy of these claims, we can confirm that John Liu was not involved in the restoration or re-release of New York Ninja, nor associated in the making of Doc. So that's all we really know about that. So thank you to everybody who pointed that out. stick around after the break. Jason and I are going to judge your songs, and we're going to talk about some stuff that we're into. It's a little mix and match here. All right, plus we're going to play an exclusive bonus scene from our New York Ninjas show. We'll be right back right after this. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better. And that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. People, every Monday, we're releasing brand new episodes. That's right. Well, not brand new. Old episodes. Old brand new episodes. Matinee Monday is what we call it. And to tie them together with old and new episodes, last week we did Ninja 3 The Domination, which is really fun. I love Ninja 3. That's the V8 one where they have like a sex scene with V8. So check back every Monday for a brand new Matinee Monday. And now, Surreal Feld. Okay, I want to apologize because last time I mispronounced your name. So we're using your awesome theme one more time to make up for it. Surreal Feld, thank you for that. And now, welcome my friend, Jason Mantzoukas, for a little Just Chat.
What's up, jerks? It's time for Just Chat with Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas.
All right, Jason, it's time once again for our How Did This Get Made idol. We are listening to new theme songs. Ken Jeong could not be here today to judge with us. He is busy on The Masked Singer, but we will be. I like.
But we do have Nick Cannon.
All right. Now, Scott, you do have to do your best Nick Cannon. Scott, our producer, has to do our best Nick Cannon to set up every song that we have. We have listened to some before. We've given feedback. People have sent back the notes, and this is great. We're putting them into the pot. We're listening.
Here's the thing. For those of you who might not be up on this, we are taking submissions for new How Did This Get Made theme songs, because shock of all shocks, the current theme song is 10 years old, did you say?
10 years old. You know, and I will tell you this.
And I love it. Again, this may stay.
I love this. But I also love our original one. I just also feel like, hey, we made a transition to the new one. We had one that Devin played when we were on the road. We're open.
Paul, are there any theme songs, podcast theme songs that you love or that you so closely identify with the show that you listen to? You know, like that you don't fast forward through.
Oh, that's a really...
I fast forward a lot of theme songs a lot of podcasts. The ones that I don't are Doughboys.
Love the Doughboys. Check. Yes. Yes. I was going to say Blank Check.
I love the original Blank Check theme song, the old one. I'm trying to think of what other ones. The old Binge Mode one I used to love. But there are some that I listen to because they get me excited for the podcast that I'm about to listen to.
They lay
the
down.
The way that a good TV show theme song does. The way that I watch every theme song of Game of Thrones or whatever, you know?
The one that I find myself humming a lot is the theme to Elvis Mitchell's show that he used to have, where it was like bend it, don't break it. Like I just love that song. It's a good like underscore song.
It's
I
great.
Like those
it
beats.
Is great yeah. when they yeah it's great when they use real songs. It's great yes. when they but I love I get really right. the way that we are talking about ours right now. I love the ones that are either fan generated or are by people that the Doughboys one I know is Mike Cassidy from Don't Stop or We'll Die.
Yes.
Anyway.
No, I like them all. You know, sometimes it's just a musical sting. The Keys to the Kingdom, the new Matt Gourley podcast, which I've been loving.
What is that?
Matt Gourley and Amanda Lund have a podcast called Keys to the Kingdom, and all it is an expose of people who worked at theme parks. So it's like all the princesses at Disney World. It's all these great backstage stories. And then a lot of the voices are, tricked out so you don't know who's actually talking about
it. Yeah, because these people are breaking NDAs, I assume.
And it is fascinating. Like the first episode about princesses, just like, here's a good little stat. Like the person playing Ariel was talking about how a lot of kids wanted to grab at her seashells, which are covering her breasts, and nothing untoward, but they're like, oh, I want to touch those seashells. Right. Like, and how do you kind of fend that off?
I get it. We all want to touch those seashells.
And you and I,
unless we're in the bathroom of Demolition Man.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. You need to touch those seashells.
Yeah. You got, I guess.
To scoop it all out. I was telling a story to Hubel on the Twitch show where I was saying that my stepfather flirted with Snow White and kind of was like grabby with her.
Oh my God.
And Hubel was like, oh my God, this is like, you're telling me this crazy story. And I was like, I don't think it's that. I mean, yes.
Dads are creeps is my guess, is the thesis of this podcast. And I will say, speaking of Gourley, he and his band, The Journeyman, do a fantastic theme song for the Andy Daly Bonanas for Bonanza.
Oh, well, that's a great, I mean, those are
great,
great. I
great
love those.
Theme song.
But yeah, you'll like
okay,
it.
Okay, that
it's
sounds cool. I'll check that out. Gourley's great, man.
Love Gourley. Podcast producing machine. Just a great guy. Roundabout, great guy. All right, let's get into it. We got three themes. If we want to do more, we can do more, but let's start off with three and see what we got here.
Before we begin, I just want to clarify. I feel like
I don't feel like you're really giving us a proper Nick Cannon intro. Like, I don't need
Scott,
you to do an impression.
Coming in very low.
You got to come in with the energy. You know, and look, if we Molly could jump in with this. Molly, can you give him a little taste of what this Nick Cannon energy got to be like? No, she says no.
No, all right. she shakes her head.
I'll try it out my game.
And welcome to How Did This Get Made's official main theme song contest. Here with you is producer Scott, and I have Paul Scheer, Tall John, and Jason Manzoukas here with me, and we're going to see if we can find the next great How Did This Get Made theme song.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I like it.
Whew. Last time we did this, I was kind of giving a little flack for maybe prejudging some of these songs.
Yeah.
So going into this, I'm going to say I have not organized these in any way and will be judging them in order of when we received them.
Great.
All right. All right. Are you guys ready for some earworms?
Yeah, let's do it.
First up, we have Balloon Ride Fantasy.
Frickin' studio, someone there has got to go. How did this get made? How did this get made? There are better plot twists on kids' shows, soaps and old-time radio. How did this get made? How did this get made?
saw the movie from the start.
The credits were my favorite part.
How did this get made? How did this get made?
Even though a monkey wrote the script,
The Rock attached his name to it.
How did this get made? How did this get made?
Jason, Paul, and June explain
before I start to go insane.
Who, what, when, where, why?
And how did this get made? How did this get made? How did this get made?
Nice!
Wow, I gotta say, right out of the gate, this might be my favorite one of the submissions henceforth.
So far, I agree.
Wow. Wow.
So a tight 44 seconds, mixed great, pop punk, up tempo. I can imagine, this is how I, my question to you earlier, Paul, about what theme songs do you listen to, if at all?
Yeah.
I can imagine, because what I like about the theme songs I like is singing along and getting excited for the show. Here we go. And I can imagine people getting into that and singing along with those easy lyrics.
Yeah. I like it. It's catchy. It's fun. I have no notes. I really have no notes. I would just put this, if we are separating... if we're separating things out on the table, I'm putting this on. It's done. Cool the apple pie. It's ready to eat. This one is, this is for the big vote.
Wait a minute. What is this? Cool the apple pie. It's ready to eat. That's the t-shirt. I don't know if we do t-shirts.
By the way,
the apple pie. It's ready to eat. What?
My thought
Somebody
is,
write that down, please.
Take it. Don't put it in the oven. It's done. Cool it.
So it's
ready
wait
to
a
eat.
Minute. But it was in the oven because it's hot. It's hot apple
right.
pie.
So I guess what I'm saying is...
And so you say, put it on the table.
It's ready to eat.
It's ready to eat.
We don't have to...
even have to cool it down.
Some of these, what I'm saying is, put it back in the oven. It needs a couple more minutes. This one, I'm like, let it cool. It's ready. I should have said let it cool.
Oh, but you do want it let it cool.
I do. I'd like to put it... what I wanted to say was, let's put it on a shelf. Let it cool.
Get the
this
ice
guy
cream.
Is ready to go. This
Get
is ready.
The ice cream. The pie is ready. That's my feedback for that song.
By the way, I'm dealing with something right now that I didn't even want to involve you with, but it's really upsetting me.
Oh, boy.
So the audience at large has not heard this episode yet, but we did a Dungeons & Dragons episode when we were in, I don't remember what city we were in, but we had
a
great time.
Maybe. Philly?
It was a great venue. It was a great, I remember the show. I just don't remember the place. And we made a great shirt. And I won't even spoil the shirt. But it has been taken down for copyright infringement, and I can't figure out why, and I'm fighting it right now.
Is it possible that, I could see a company like Dungeons & Dragons being, protective of their...
logo.
Whatever? Yeah.
I mean, look how good that shirt is. People love
that,
this shirt.
That shirt is incredible. So now, is that and the ampersand with
the dragon.
The dragon, but is that their thing?
Well, here's the thing. I went online. I searched on TeePublic. I typed in Dungeons & Dragons. Not only are there just straight up Dungeons & Dragons shirts.
Sure.
Full logo, full everything. But that logo also appears on multiple shirts. I'm like, why is ours getting dinged? Because ours is more parody than it is anything else. It's Morgan
and
Dragons.
Can we resubmit with almost no alteration?
That's what we're going to try to do. I wonder if they dinged Morgan. So we're trying to figure out that because we also have permission from Morgan.
Morgan complained? Wait, Morgan, if you're listening, do you not want us to put you on a shirt?
I have a feeling that what they have is one of those I dealt with this in the past and we lost this battle, but MTV allowed Human Giant to put our sketches up on YouTube.
Sure.
And not on their site, but on YouTube proper because we knew we'd get more views. And then that was a legal agreement that we signed with them. But then when YouTube has their kind of filtering process, it just ripped them all off because
it was copyrighted.
And then you go and you kind of fight it. But if you're not the owner,
you think we got swept up in some sort of a bot dinged us rather than somebody. Okay, got it.
All right. Anyway. I hope T-Bubble and I are on it, but I want to save that Dungeons & Dragons episode because I want to get this figured out because I want people to get that shirt. It's so good. All right.
Yeah, big time. I really like this song. Just to get back to these songs, I thought this was great. I could see this being played. I could see this hyping up a crowd for a sing-along. This, so far for me, very exciting. Great work. Balloon Ride Fantasy.
I love it. The other thing that I'm going to say about this is, and I think... all theme songs, it's kind of like the way that theme songs and TV have elevated themselves too. we've gotten away from these kind of fun theme songs, like these legacy podcasts. Yeah. I would consider us a legacy podcast. We still have our...
Isn't that crazy?
I know, it's nuts.
It's crazy, and I know we've talked about this before, so I won't waste much more time on it, but the idea that people have started coming to the shows who are themselves the age of the show, like all these families coming with 13-year-olds in attendance who are as old as the show is. That's very weird to me.
Yeah, that is wild. And I will say this, old theme songs have a more fun, like homemade vibe to them. I feel like newer theme songs, there's a lot more production on certain things.
Oh yeah.
And I like a throwback. Like, I'm not calling this a throwback per se, but if it reminds me of when I was, I don't know, it just has a nice feel to it. I like it.
Well, it feels like somebody made it. It doesn't feel like we pulled library music for for our high end fucking show. It feels like, oh no, it feels like what is exciting is these, I'm hoping, are fans who are writing something that excites them about it. All the specifics. That's what's great about the current theme song is that it is so dense with lore, you know, dense with podcast lore from those first few years that it is crazy. And it's, I think, really fun as opposed to just bland theme music.
I agree. Let's get into the next one. What have we got?
All right. Coming up next, we have Chris Chaney, who, song, sent a video as well.
Wow.
Let's see if this apple pie is hot enough to come out of the oven and cool down.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or does it need a little more time to bake?
Yes. All right. Apple pie. Let's keep it in.
All right. Chris Chaney.
Hello, Mary Lou. From my two mannequins on the moon. Best eggs and the specialist. Designed to kill malignant. Surrogate prelude to a kiss. Stone cold with a view from the top. Wish upon a hard target. Suck a punch, lead a dick. Over the top, I'm into it. Compromise in New York. Body parts are getting airborne. Still left wondering, how did this get made?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I like about this. First of all, love the length. Love the video.
So this person has put together a video accompaniment that like is similar to the one we play in the live shows, in that everything that is being described in this song, clips from those movies are being shown on the video. So it's great.
If I'm going to give you one, I'm going to start off with the note and I'm going to come back with the positives. The one thing I'm going to say about this is that it is simply a list of the movies that we've done. I don't feel like it encompasses the show, but let's go back to the compliments. I like the sound of it. I like the length of it. I like the fun of it. I was into it. I was waiting for it to maybe turn to a little bit of the show.
Yes, I agree. And I know what you mean. It's a classic list song. We're getting into like pop punk really lends itself to this type of an up-tempo vibe, which is fine by me. I don't love pop punk, but you know, this guy's doing a great job. Who is this? Chris Chaney. I liked the video is helpful, but not necessary. I think the song works. I could see this coming around in some way, shape, or form. I could see this as something that gets played prior to a live show on screen while the audience is watching, something like different songs or different video accompaniment for different songs. This is cool.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I feel like, look, we've also been doing a lot of fun stuff on the road, which is like the shows on the road now have like a whole kind of prelude and it's fun. And there's a lot of stuff. And this kind of works perfectly within that. I'm all in.
Yeah. And I've also been liking how many people have been coming to multiple shows on the road.
It's amazing. It makes me step up my game to kind of figure out different things. So I try when we do shows on the road that we don't repeat things on multiple days. So
it's funny to think of us and our podcast like it's our fans are like the Grateful Dead or Fish fans.
I know.
Like they're following us from city to city, like camping outside, making grilled cheese sandwiches for each other.
I mean, I wish. I would like to have some of those grilled cheeses.
I mean, let's be honest. If a fan handed me a grilled cheese sandwich, there's absolutely no way I'm eating it.
Oh, well, you can. I mean, you know, it would kill you. Let's see what we got here now. Oh, yeah.
But great job, Chris Chaney. Great job.
Before we move on, going with Paul's pie analogy, do we want to assign each song like the type of pie you think, you know, it emulates?
Scott? Oh. No, Scott, absolutely not. Type of pie? So what? That's a rhubarb? What are we saying?
Again, yeah, you're not on the pie thing, Jason. I feel like, you know, you're
all right. I'll do it. Fine. Great. Let's do it. Let's do Scott's dumb pie.
All right. I'm going to call that a blueberry pie. Like,
you're going to call that blueberry pie? Okay, great. So, yeah. Totally blueberry pie. Got it. So that was like a pecan pie to me. Jesus Christ.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers. Here we go. What do we got next?
All right. Coming up next, we have a song from Darren Keane. What type of pie will it be?
Yes.
Let's find out.
I don't like this pie thing.
All right, Jason, okay. What do you think?
I enjoyed that. That had vibes. It feels a little low energy for a theme to me.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just muted.
No, I feel like it had, like, there was a, I was expecting.
Oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but Molly has weighed in and says that song is Key Lime.
Okay.
If that helps.
Okay.
That helps me quite a bit. Yeah.
But like, all right. So, all right. I hear what you're saying. Can we just play it again a little bit of the front of it? Because I also feel like the lyrics are getting a little muted. Just like, let's play, make five, like 5 or 6 seconds in. Do we hate, do we love it? All right, stop for a second. I think what it is, it's like there's a reverb thing, or there's a tin canniness to it, which I think has that.
It's a little muted. I don't know what that is, but maybe it's a mix thing, or because it's an up tempo song.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like this. I like a kind of fuzzed out rock and roll kind of giving me some 80s. You know, synthy vibes in there. There's something here. I like this.
It's fun. I mean, by the way, what a great second batch of songs. I like that. I like the how much this is about the show and how we talk about movies in the show. Do we love that we hate it? Do we hate it that we love it? Like, there's a good vibe to this song that I just feel like.
You know what could be great?
What?
If the theme song had a presumed call and response to it.
Oh, I love that.
Like, so that can you give me the lyric sheet again for this one, Scott, that you had put up for a second, just because I feel like this song has natural call and response, so that it would be like one voice is saying, do we hate that we love it? We love that we hate it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so that the audience gets to chime in, because that's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing people driving, people doing their dumb lives and shouting out loud while they have their headphones on or whatever.
Yeah.
The way that when I'm listening to the Shadow Wolves episodes of Action Boys, I will find myself in public wandering around going, Shadow Wolves.
I see a lot of that.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not necessarily that this art that Darren here has to do that, but I think this exemplified a way to me to do a call and response.
Yeah. I like anyway. That. Yeah. I agree with that. And I feel like, I mean, look, we're talking a lot about like how the live shows go. I mean, right now, when you come see a live show, the entire audience is chanting Geostorm and Kumite. I feel like we could have more call and response. I'm down with that.
Oh, yeah. I think especially. You know, and I like the idea that we've talked about having like a handful of theme songs that we use, because I think dropping them in, if people love them all, we're dropping them in and people get excited for, oh, wait, we got this one or we got that one. The same way that every show gets individual movies.
Yeah.
Maybe they get songs. Maybe they get, they're already getting T-shirts, all this kind of stuff. And not that we're basing everything around the live shows. So relax, you studio heads.
No, we just do some things. And, look, by the way, calm down. We like to make the show fun for everybody.
Speaking of, you mentioned, call and response and shouting Geostorm. Paul, I saw on your Twitch stream, you shared a story of you and June driving by Jason.
Oh my God. You said that story? Well,
yes.
I would love to get Jason's take on it as well.
Okay, so yeah. I was talking about this time. June and I were driving in our neighborhood, and there's a restaurant with some nice outdoor seating. We were driving by, and we see Jason. As a matter of fact, June sees Jason. And June's like, oh, there's Jason. I said, oh, and she, before I could say anything, rolls down the window. And I'm expecting her to say, hey, Jason, like just because that's June. Friendly conversation. Just
and I just want to be just for setting the scene. You guys are seeing me, but my back is to you.
So exactly
you are,
right. Yes.
So I have not seen you.
Right. Right. We are driving by and we're doing a little shout as we drive, like to get your attention a little bit.
Yes.
That good point. So, boom. June rolls down the window, and without conferring with me, not that she has to, but it was just immediately rolls down the window and starts yelling out, Geostorm! Geostorm! And she's screaming, and it's like a Sunday morning, right?
It's early. The restaurant is packed.
Yes.
People are sitting at all the outdoor tables, and all I can hear now is I can tell there is a car that is parked in front of all of these tables full of all these people just screaming Geostorm at me.
And so then as she starts screaming, I start screaming.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And then my kids, who are also in the car, they don't know what's going on, but they know Jason. They start screaming. So now you have a car of people yelling Geostorm nonstop.
And I'm getting more and more uncomfortable because I won't engage with it because I'm at lunch with people.
Right.
Like I'm at a table full of people and I don't want to engage with whatever like car full of maniacs has decided they're going to scream at me from the street.
And rightfully so, because you're also on the street. And I would say oftentimes in my experience, sometimes people just want to yell something at you. And it's just like a bam, like it's a bam.
I did it.
I acknowledge it and you go. And it's not like now let's chat. but we won't stop yelling. And it's funny to me because I'm like, why? Like, now I'm starting to feel uncomfortable because now I'm like, now we're parked and we're screaming. And so we're just, it's going on for way too long. And then, and then you turn around, and it was one of my favorite moments of all time because it was a great, just a convergence of you turning around like, okay, I get it. Thank you. Hello. Like, and but then to see
and then realizing it was all of you, I just collapsed into laughter.
It just like in a minivan screaming at you, just calling attention to so much. It was truly.
It was incredible.
It was your face, that turn of that face, which was like, I get it. Because you're like, okay, these fucking
so
idiots.
Annoyed.
Because
so
we were,
annoyed.
We had
enough.
Done too much. It wasn't
enough
like.
Enough is enough. I hear you, you know, like that. You know, because I'm sure you've dealt with it too.
Yes.
It's like, it's okay. I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Holy shit. That was really funny.
Oh my gosh. People used to run up to, I mean, obviously you get it because of the league. And there's a couple things that they would yell with the league that was tricky too, because like Geostorm is a crazy thing to yell out to anybody in the street, but it's something that I feel like we've all experienced. It's a nice, fun little thing.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Hey Nong Man for me is the from Comedy Bang Bang is so wonderful and easy because each of us says it and then it's done.
Yeah.
Bye.
You know what it is. But people used to yell for the league a lot. Shiva Kamini Somakan.com, who was a name of a character in the show. And that yelling was also it that would scare my kids.
Sure.
They were younger, so now they're more used to it. But now my kids have yelled Geostorm at you. That was really a highlight of my life.
Really funny. Oh, that's funny.
I just hope, Jason, that one day you don't end up facing an actual Geostorm, and then you don't take that warning seriously. Someone's
it's
like, Geostorm, and you're just like,
and I'm gonna be like, oh, all right, man. I'm super popular today. What's the deal?
I will say this. You know, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but every now and then my kids love Jason. Jason's great. And they've seen him, you know, a bunch, but they'll like on a random night, they'll say, can Jason have cake? Like, it's like they've like, it's just,
been, oh yeah, it pops back up like my allergy.
Your egg allergy just sits in their head and it's apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
Have cake. It's this running on a background program.
That makes it out. Yeah, because there was one night where I feel like Gus specifically had a number of questions for me about things that I could or couldn't eat, which was very cute.
I will say this much too. I've always recognized how scary that allergy is, right? Because you realize, oh my God, eggs, you're so aware of it. You're so present of it. I've known you for a long time. But when I had kids is when I really understood, oh God, this is a hellish thing. Because as an adult, you can at least navigate. But as a kid.
Oh, you can advocate on your own behalf. But as a child, crazy. Oh,
and,
yes.
And
absolutely.
My God. And plus, as I see everything that children eat.
It's so funny. I was just with my cousins, all of my first cousins. A week ago, and we were just telling stories and blah blah blah, reminiscing. And one of my cousins told a story about me being a baby, her mother, my aunt, they were babysitting for me, and my cousin remembers that her mother was making me scrambled eggs.
Okay.
And this is before they knew I was allergic to eggs, but I had a number of really bad incidents. And so my cousin said to her mother, remember, Jason's mother said not to feed him eggs.
Right.
He doesn't handle them well, or I can't remember what she said, but they don't agree with him or something. And my aunt said, that's because he hasn't had my eggs. And then she like almost killed me twice.
Oh,
and
my God.
For the rest of her life, felt such guilt for almost killing me that during that babysitting, that every time I went to her house, she had like sugar cereals. to give me that's... because I wasn't allowed to have sugar cereals. So she'd be like, there's something in the cupboard, you know? And I'd be like, yes, I'd get to take home sugar cereal. It was amazing.
Well, it's so funny because to me, it's like, I understand the idea of like, oh, he doesn't like steak. Well, he hasn't had my steak yet, right? Because it's like, that's not like, yeah, but eggs, you can't, there's no getting around it. There's no, they're like, you know, you can't dress it up. You can't, like, you know, no. It's like, it's not like
it was, was great. I was like, that is so funny. And they were like, oh, yeah, she was relentless. That all you needed to, all it was going to take for you to be able to eat eggs was the way that she prepared them. Oh, it was very, my, it was very,
I love
cute
it. I mean, this is the best. It, you know, it's always like this. I mean, last night I was having this argument with my youngest son because he was like, no, you don't understand. When you cut my nails, it hurts. And I was like, well, yes, I understand. Like, it feels weird maybe, but it's like, it doesn't hurt. He's like, no, it's like, it's hurting me. I'm like, and we're just trying to debate. I'm like, I don't think it's true. Then June's like, do not disagree. If he says it hurts, it hurts. I'm like, but it's not.
That's interesting.
But she's like, not my toes, only my hand. I'm like, okay.
So it's
like,
funny.
Yeah, it's like a very fun. And I think what he is just, he can see it happening on his hand. And I think he sees something being clipped off. I think it's like a fear. It's like, you know, he gets his hair cut.
He thinks maybe it should hurt, or it seems like maybe something that might hurt. It also makes a sound.
Yeah,
it also makes a hard sound that mustn't this hurt? Maybe I should be scared of this. Yeah,
I know.
I get that.
It's like, but it's so funny to like debate your kids about. You're like, no, it doesn't. Now, meanwhile, look, if I find out a couple years later, they'll be like, yeah, my dad never believed me. It hurt. And I actually have a rare disorder where if I cut my nails,
I'm allergic to getting my nails cut.
All right, we got some songs. I feel like we did it for this episode. We'll go back. We'll listen to some more. We should even just talk about what we've been up to in the next one. So tune in again. We'll kind of go down the wormhole here. We'll listen to more songs. We have more submissions. Thank you for these submissions. These were across the board. I'm going to say without any, you know, look, all of these are apple pies that should be cooled. None of these need to be put back in the oven. But
I thought these were great as well. I loved all of these. And I thought, and I loved the ones we listened to whenever the last time was.
I agree.
I'm having a blast listening to the stuff you guys are coming up with.
We really
how creative
thank you.
Everybody is, with your lyrical content, musical content. Great work all around, everybody. I mean, some of you are much, much better than others. So, I'm just not going to rank them.
Exactly.
That way.
But we have to,
But I'm just saying, I've loved all of these.
All
except
right, see
for the
next
ones that I have not liked.
And those, you know who we're talking about. We'll see you next time. Bye for now. Thank you, Jason, and thank you to everyone who submitted a theme song. We know that we still have more to listen to, and we will do our best to get to them all. Now that we got New York Ninja out of the way, let's talk about our next movie. Next week, we're going to be going from corny ninjas with voices dubbed to horny aliens who love eating grub. That's right. Next week, we are watching the 1987 comedy Munchies, a movie that is a blatant knockoff of Gremlins and kind of crazy, too. Here's a short breakdown of the plot. A space archaeologist finds a furry little creature in a cave in Peru, but his groundbreaking discovery is thwarted by his evil twin brother, who kidnaps the creature. What the brother doesn't know is that the creature, when chopped up, regenerates into many new creatures, and they are mean. I told you, it's Gremlins. Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes does not have enough reviews to give this film a score, so we turn to Letterboxd. Oh, I love Letterboxd, where Oscar Montoya writes, I know it's bad, I know the plot is non-existent and terrible, but the aesthetic was really fun. The set design rivals Pee-wee's Playhouse, manic colors and patterns, the acting is camp as hell, Mavis is a queer legend, the Munchies themselves are so corny but still 80s, can only recommend watching this with fellow idiots. And just a shout out to Oscar Montoya, he's a super funny improviser an actor. And this is what I'm telling you. You'll find good people on Letterboxd. Get on Letterboxd, people. You will love it. Martin Scorsese's on Letterboxd now. So cool. All right, let's listen to the trailer for Munchies.
I want you.
Yeah, for breakfast.
The Munchies are here.
Whoa.
And they want you for lunch.
No one kills my tropical fish and live.
Huh. And they want you for dinner. Nothing human can be this hungry. Munchies, rated PG.
Ah, you're gonna love it. Now we are almost at the end of this episode, but before we go, we want you to check out this bonus scene from our New York Ninja show, where an audience question leads me to giving a glowing endorsement for one of my favorite products, Splinter Out.
What do you got?
So I have a really quick comment, which is that if you watch with the subtitles, it starts after Nita dies with, in parentheses, melancholy synth instrumental. Love that. And then the film ends with grooving beat with synth. Haven't stopped thinking about that. And then I have a question for Jason. What was
I'll just
more...
wait. Yes.
Everybody else can just close your eyes.
I'm sorry. What was more erotic? Every scene between the ninja and the kid in this, and every scene between Stallone and the kid in Over the Top?
That's a question for me? Wow. I thought it was going to be about boobs. What a bummer. It was pretty wild. When he does finally rescue the kid, which does happen, the kid survives the first encounter.
Thank God. If that kid died, I truly was going to have to turn off the movie. I was like, I
but
can't.
But he seems to rescue the kid from the suburbs. When he finds the kid is like out in it's not in the city, it's out in like a suburban neighborhood with standalone houses and like a driveway. And I was like, where are they now?
Bayonne. All right, so.
But also, he rescues the kid and heals the child by pulling out a bullet from his own chest.
The kid is shot. Both of them are shot with a gun. And neither of them are treated by medical experts.
Well, he pulls out a bullet like you would pull out a splinter. Like, it's like, oh, that just got one of those bullets right under my skin. Didn't go all the way through.
He's like, you want to quickly plug your splinter?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, there's a thing called Splinter Out. You can buy it on Amazon. And it's a little splinter removal kit. And
watch out behind you, Paul.
And when you have kids and they get splinters, you got everything you need in there. I love that little splinter kit. It's the best. I use it all the time on my kids. I got one with me right there backstage, ready to go.
Is this product placement for a splinter removal thing? I got them. They're called tweezers.
It is as, no.
But this, if this you're is out.
This is as thin as a credit card and you put it in your wallet. Again, we're not making money off of this.
This, yes, you're not going to carry
tweezers. It's just a public service announcement.
Out.
Look
you're
under
out.
Your seats. You get a splinter kit. You get a splinter kit.
By the way, they.
What?
There it is, right there, behind your head.
Wait, you have it?
Behind your head.
Oh, my God!
The best thing you could possibly get.
How is it? Why do you wait a minute? Why do you have it ready to be shown?
That's our amazing stage manager, Beth. She was able to pull that up.
Thank you, Beth. That's
story.
What it is, and it's amazing. This is an amazing product.
Splinter out, and that box is the box that they all come in. You could take them out of the box and put them in your wallet. You could put them all in your car. You got them. It's great.
I love that we talk about the splinter out, and boom, it's there. But we talk about boobs the whole time. None of it. We get none of it.
It's a family show.
Thank you, everybody. A big thank you to Avril Halley for finding these great movies. Remember, rate and review this show. It helps. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us and make sure you're listening every week, because now they're not going to download episodes if you don't listen to them within 15 days. Weird. Anyway, rate and review us. It does help. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And a big thank you to our producer, Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, our movie picking producer, Avril Halley, which I already said, our engineers, Casey Halford and Rich Garcia, and Jess Cisneros, who makes our amazing social media videos. We will see you next week for Munchies.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.